Part 4. The big nurse had her next maneuver underway the day after the fishing trip. The idea had come to her when she was talking to McMurphy the day before about how much money he was making off the fishing trip and other little enterprises along that line. She had worked the idea over that night, looking at it from every direction this time until she was dead sure it could not fail, and all the next day she fed hints around to start a rumor and have it breeding good before she actually said anything about it. She knew that people, being like they are, sooner or later are going to draw back a ways from somebody who seems to be giving a little more than ordinary, from Santa Clauses and missionaries and men donating funds to worthy causes, and begin to wonder, what's in it for them? Grin out of the side of their mouths when the young lawyer, say, brings a sack of pecans to the kids in his district school, just before nominations for state senate, the sly devil, and say to one another, he's nobody's fool. She knew it wouldn't take too much to get the guys to wondering just what it was, now that you mention it, that made McMurphy spend so much time and energy organizing fishing trips to the coast and arranging bingo parties and coaching basketball teams. What pushed him to keep up a full head of steam when everybody else on the ward had always been content to drift along playing pinochle and reading last year's magazines? How come this one guy, this Irish rowdy from a work farm where he'd been serving time for gambling and battery, would loop a kerchief around his head, coo like a teenager, and spend 2 solid hours having every acute on the ward hurrahing him while he played the girl trying to teach Billy Bibbit to dance? Or how come a seasoned con like this, an old pro, a carnival artist, a dedicated odds watcher gambling man, would risk doubling his stay in the nut house by making more and more an enemy out of the woman who had the say-so as to who got discharged and who didn't? The nurse got the wondering started by pasting up a statement of the patient's financial doings over the last few months. It must have taken hours of digging into records. It showed a steady drain out of the funds of all the acutes, except one. His funds had risen since the day he came in. The acutes took to joking with McMurphy about how it looked like he was taking them down the line, and he was never one to deny it. Not the least bit. In fact, he bragged that if he stayed on at this hospital a year or so, he might be discharged out of it into financial independence, retired to Florida for the rest of his life. They all laughed about that when he was around, but when he was off the ward at ET or OT or PT, or when he was in the nurse's station getting bawled out about something, matching her fixed plastic smile with his big ornery grin, they weren't exactly laughing. They began asking one another why he'd been such a busy bee lately, hustling things for the patients like getting the rule lifted that the men had to be together in therapeutic groups of 8 whenever they went somewhere. Billy here's been talking about slicing his wrists again, he said in a meeting when he was arguing against the group of 8 rule. So is there 7 of you guys who'd like to join him and make it therapeutic?